Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Tyler Jackson, Tyler Steinhaus, and Vernalis. Coming up on TMS, the Star Wars along the Fury Road.
Putting children in their bags.
The Wilhelm Laugh.
Candy corn dressed as Robin.
Good and plenty as multiple men.
Theater is fancy.
AI colon.
Frankenstein barfing in a pumpkin.
Don't forget the.
Going in hard on the beef.
Freshly canned laughter.
Inserting Dunaway.
Double up day.
Stinky ball in the desert.
Science, something cool and learny with Bobby, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hi, I'm just playing with my daughter's video game, but the battery seems to be dead. I have some in my car. Why don't you come over and help me put them in?
Don't forget, scumbag.
The Morning Stream. He's taking a dump in a can.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Monday, October 2nd, 2023. I'm Scott, and that's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hello. Happy new week to you. New month, even. New moon on Monday.
Whoa, the second. That's right. I forgot. We're in it. We're in it to win it today.
We're knee deep in it. Yes. Yeah.
I had a plan yesterday. I was going to draw something Halloween-y every day for 31 days. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do it yesterday. I forgot. The very first day.
You missed day one. Yeah. Well, start on day. I guess I'll just have to wait until November and try it again, folks.
I think what I'll do is it's only fun for Halloween, so that's the only reason I'm doing it. So what I think I'll do is just draw two today, you know?
I'll make one for yesterday, then
I'm caught up. I got one for today, and then I'll do a Halloween doodle every day until the end of the month. That's the plan. Nice. Until Halloween.
Any theme? The Halloween themed, or is it just a Halloween?
Just Halloween themed, like, you know, who knows what? Frankenstein barfing in a pumpkin. I don't know.
How about Candy dressed up as superheroes and somebody putting children in their bags?
I like it. That's not bad.
You go to a door and somebody puts children in their bags.
What superhero is just dressed up? Or no,
Candy corn would be dressed up as Robin.
Okay, there you go. That's good.
Just a generic candy bar would be your Batman.
Okay.
What do we got? We got popcorn ball as the Hulk.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I like that. That's not bad. What's another dumb thing we always
get? Screw you, Johnson. I'm going to draw this.
How about a good and plenty? Who gets to be a good and plenty?
Oh, good and plenty. Good and plenty dressed up as multiple men.
Oh, my
God. Because there'd be a lot of them, right? They're all dressed up as multiple men.
Well, they're good and plenty. That's right.
They are.
Anyway, happy October, everybody. Hope you have a good, fun, spooky season. We put up a new film sack this weekend for our kickoff of the Halloween month. It was fun.
Yeah. Oh, God, that was a blast.
Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you right now, I'm pretty sure that The Cabin in the Woods holds up.
I like that you do emphasize the, and I do appreciate that because it is not, the movie is not called Cabin in the Woods. It's called The Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, and most people, like, when they bring it up,
Fighters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Most people, when they bring it up, they say Cabin in the Woods and they're wrong. There's a the
right,
in there.
Right, right.
And the why do I know that? Because I used to do it wrong. And then this weekend I kept reminding myself, no, there's a the there, Scott.
Sure.
Get it in so that you don't get emails going, where's the emails would say.
Exactly.
And I'd say, where
it's
do you mean like, the band?
You get those names right. It's like, it's the Star Wars. It's the Jaws. Make sure you get these movie names right, people, because we you know, it's important.
Yeah. The Mad Max Fury Road. Don't forget the.
There you go.
In there.
Let's reset that timer.
The. Anyway, hey, we got all kinds of stuff today. Big Monday. So, you know, what's the word? Tuck in, I guess.
Yeah.
Tuck in, which usually is a food reference, right? You're supposed to eat when you tuck in. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
When somebody tucks into a plate of beef, that is them going hard on beef, right? Just like, I'm going to eat all this beef. I'm tucking in.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how tuck. It's true though. I don't know how tuck ever got associated with food. You know, Silence of the Lambs did try to change all that with a whole different meaning for tuck. But as far as food and eating, that's one that we can always appreciate is the food connection.
That's right. Always remember the food connection. We got an email though, or a text, I should say, from Kelly S. in our listening audience. Okay.
Hi, and, Kelly S.
We had had some, you and I, some brief conversation about misheard lyrics recently. Yes. We've done that a few times.
Mondegreens is what they're officially called.
Oh, here we are.
Comes from a misheard lyric that somebody, like the actual line is, laid him on the green. And somebody said, oh, I think that lyric is Lady Mondegreen. Mm. And ever since then, a misheard lyric has been called a Mondegreen.
How old is that song? Do we know?
Eons. It's like a 1300 or 1400 song. I don't know. It's old. It's old.
So this is, okay. That's actually kind of cool. People have been doing this for a long time.
I mean, it is it's an early song, but it is, I'll tell you exactly that song.
It's not some Beatles B-side somewhere.
The song is the Bonnie Earl of Moray, 17th century.
Okay. Nice.
So 1600s, yeah.
Nice. Look at that. People dying of the plague and singing songs. That's what you did back then.
Yep, exactly.
Well, here's what Kelly S. had to say on the topic of misunderstood lyrics. When I was a kid, I thought the line in NXS's Need You Tonight was, quote, there's something about to burp that makes me sweat.
There's something about to burp that makes me sweat. Love it. Now I'm not going to hear anything else.
I mean, I always heard, I think what it was supposed to be was there's something about you, girl, that makes me sweat.
Correct. Yes, correct.
But
that is the correct.
Something about to burp that makes me sweat is amazing.
It's fantastic. And I think, you know, Kelly, yes, it's one of the easiest lyrics to hear in music because there's very little instrumentation in that song other than the drums and the blank, blank, blank,
blank. That's right. Boink, boink, boink. That's it.
Exactly. So, you know, good on you. I kind of like that interpretation.
It's not bad.
The song.
Yeah, I'm going to hear it next time I hear it for sure. I haven't heard that song in probably 15 years. It's been a long time.
Oh, really? Oh, God.
Randomly or on
NXS's
purpose.
Kick album is one of my, if I had 10 Desert Island discs, NXS's Kick album would be one of those. There is not a crap song on that whole album.
I agree. I do feel like I would tire of it though, because that whole album was so good that every song got tons of play on the radio, and I felt
it did
like,
a lot of singles. Yeah, Negan and I, Devil Inside, New Sensation. What's the slow one?
And you were there.
We can live for a thousand years. Never tear us apart.
Oh yeah, never tear us apart. That's it.
Mystify.
The title track. That album has no bad tracks. There's no bad songs.
No bad tracks. I think out of the 12 songs on the album, we've just named like...
Yep.
Oh, you see, yeah, 12 songs on the album. I get that right. Look at that.
That's one of the only tapes I ever bought two of because my car ate the tape.
Oh.
What I think happened is my sister Wendy, who was much younger then and not a therapist and super smart, just kind of a dumb kid then, spilled Sprite on some tapes, and I think that one got some Sprite on it, so it had sugary sticky to it. And I put that in the car.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, and it just ate it. My car stereo. And I spent, I don't know, an hour digging tape out of my car stereo that I installed myself.
Yeah.
Remember those days? That's what you did. You put your own shit in.
You had to, basically, you pull the tape out, and it would have an umbilical cord of actual magnetic tape taking it back into the machine, and you would basically have to figure out which side had some give and pull on that one until it till it finally came out. And if both sides stalled, then you just had to say, okay, I'm going to cut this one and hope that it makes the other one come through.
Yeah.
But that tape was gone.
And even if you did, let's say I've had it a couple times where it ate just a bit of it. You pull it back in.
Yeah.
There was no way that when you got to the, I don't know, hip to be square on the freaking album, Sports, Huey Lewis Sports album or whatever. Oh no, that was a different album.
Yeah, four.
That was four. But when you got to that song, it would always be like, it's hip to be square. Yeah,
right. It was never right. And really, there's songs like that that I have either a skip on the CD. Mm. Yes, folks, CDs could skip.
Yeah, they could.
Or in the tape that now when I hear the song, I still wait for that imperfection to happen.
Oh, because you heard it so much. Yeah.
As I heard it so much as a kid that it's like, oh, yeah, no, that song will always have that right there in that middle part, or it'll automatically skip or replay that second bit.
Yeah, this is the problem with you were talking about Taxi and the laugh track where there's certain noises where you hear them every time.
Yeah.
Once you hear them, you're just screwed. You're just screwed forever, you know?
Yeah, and I've been thinking so much about that damn Taxi thing because in watching it, there are times that it does not feel like it's got a laugh track, right? Because you've got like this sporadic laughter where it doesn't seem like somebody would put laughter in, just like,
yeah,
just like one person just kind of laughing at Reverend Jim walking into the hello everybody, you know, walking into the Sunshine Cab Company,
sure,
and one guy. Which is like, if you're you know, doing the laugh track thing, I wouldn't think that you would put that in there.
I wouldn't think so, but I think it's such a mix, right? Because then you'll see scenes.
I think it might be a mix. That's the thing.
Because I think there is live studio audience on the main set of the Taxi Cab place. As far as I know, just like there was in Cheers at the bar, and you had it in Seinfeld at the house or the apartment. But then they'd leave. And anytime they'd go anywhere, like let's say last night I'm watching the one where Kramer, they're doing him and Mickey, the little person, are hired to do gigs where in the hospital they have to pretend like they have the disease, and then the interns have to try to figure out what disease it is, so gonorrhea and all that.
Right. Yeah.
And you can tell that when they're in cars or doing other stuff, they're not in a place where an audience is yet. The laughter is still piped in. And I can tell a difference between that and when they're home. There's just something. They may still fill stuff in with fake laughter, not fake laughter, but canned laughter. But you can hear. You can also hear stuff that would only happen if Kramer walked in season 5 and everybody lost their minds. Or what I mean. So I don't know. It's not a science, but it's such a weird thing when we were doing laugh tracks predominantly in our sitcoms. And I assume the ones that still have it today are still like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's also funny that I know other sitcoms did it, but the only one that can come to mind that actually starts with, this show is filmed in front of a live studio audience, so Cheers is the only one I can think of. I know there were other ones that did that, but is it like a disclaimer or a selling point? Like, hey, we're sugar-free, you know, kind of thing. We're laugh track free here at Cheers. Or is it like a, if you hear anything weird, it's because we filmed this in front of a live studio audience.
Yeah, and they even named.
Oh, yeah, Laverne and Shirley said that too at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, they did too. They even named this, like, welcome back, the Jimmy Kimmel project that happened in 2019 to bring back old stuff. Like the Jeffersons cast and all that.
All the Norman Lear stuff.
Yeah, they even call that live in front of a studio audience. So clearly the terminology has some cachet, but why was it ever like were you at home? Let's say you were at home and you were a kid and you heard Carlos at the beginning say, Cheers, this film before live studio audience. Did you go, oh.
Yeah, like it's like, oh, I'm gonna whatever this show, good or bad, I like it because it was filmed in front of a live studio audience.
It's really odd to me now that you say it. I never really thought of it that way, but why did we care? It's weird.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm curious. Did I Love Lucy say that too? I don't remember that. They might have.
I don't remember saying that.
Definitely had live people there. I remember seeing some behind the scenes shit. Well, in fact, I think that Ricky and Lucy movie showed audiences and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was filmed in front of a live studio audience, but I don't remember them actually saying filmed in front of a live studio.
Matthew Sargent says it well. He says, it makes it sound like theater, and theater is fancy. So
I guess so, yeah. Did you mention the hockey?
Yeah, she was filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Oh, man. They were all so mad about that. Everybody there that made that show was so mad about the soundtrack having, or the laugh track having to be in there.
But they couldn't, what are they going to do? Like have a bunch of people on bleachers sitting out in the California heat
watching
this thing? There's no audio. Like you're not going to be able to record an audience out there.
No wonder they were annoyed because it's as fake as you can get.
And then, all right, everybody, no laughing because we're in the operating room. No laughing in here.
Yeah, no laughing in here.
Funny. You can hear something funny, but no laughing.
Yeah, this is serious. While we're in here, serious business takes place. Some strange choices made in that show, for sure.
Yeah, they really were. Yeah.
But somehow, despite it all, still one of the best shows ever made. So there's that.
For sure. For sure.
We got a quick review of The Creator. The Creator.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Dude, I am so happy to have a science fiction thing. I mean, it's not out of nowhere. Obviously, you've been hearing about this movie for a couple months, or I have anyway, for previews and stuff. But
sure.
Not a reboot, not a sequel, not a franchise film, just this like really solid, borderline hard sci-fi kind of thing. And I saw an article, I didn't read it, but I just saw the headline, the engagement farming of the Huffington Post, the HuffPo, saying The Creator is the AI film we don't need right now. And it's
F off.
It's a different, I mean, all right, it's AI, it's artificial intelligence, but it's like a, it's not the ChatGPT, you know, it's a different thing. It's the same thing, but it's a different thing. It's AI in the same way that Haley Joel Osment's character, the AI movie, is AI.
Yeah, or freaking Data getting his emotion chip, or a billion stories, iRobot for that
exactly.
matter.
Exactly. Yeah. We don't need this AI film right now.
Like, shut up, dude. HuffPo.
Exactly. Yet I'm sure 2/3 of the Huffington Post writes their articles using AI. But so it's directed by Gareth Edwards. Really, God, it is
love
so
him.
Freaking good. This is a movie. See it in theaters if you can. See it in a good theater. Don't see it in an AMC theater unless you can be like Nicole Kidman and have the whole theater to yourself and experience the joy and the heartbreak, which even feels good in a place like this. It's you have to know that reference.
Yeah.
The story is basically it's humans versus AI. AI kind of did a thing where they took over and exploded a nuclear bomb in Los Angeles, and America and most of the world has outlawed AI. However, China is still okay with AI and actually is harboring all of these robots and cyborgs and things like that over there.
Mm.
And there's kind of a war going on between the U.S. The U.S. and China over this AI.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of all going after this creator named Nirmata and trying to find who this creator is that apparently is in charge of all the AI, the AI leader. That's true. Chivas Travis, not China, New Asia.
New Asia. Okay. We're far flung then, future wise. Where are we? Do we know?
It's like 2040 something.
Okay.
2055.
Yeah.
Is the year. So not super far flung, but 10, we'll still be hopefully alive in 2055 and we can say, hey, this is when that movie The Creator was supposed to take place.
You always hope, right? I want to be there for
hopefully
Blade Runner 2049. I want to be able to say, hey, this is that year.
And that's probably a good comparison. It feels like the sci-fi level of Blade Runner 2049. Mm-hmm. That the look, the feel, obviously because of the nuclear attack, there's a lot of post-apocalypse feeling, but it's New Asia, and so there's this incredible like Thai and Chinese kind of
fusion
look to everything. Fusion with kind of future technology. The technology, like the robot design, the spaceship design, the there is a giant machine, kind of a tank in this thing. The design of these things is so freaking incredible.
I love the head with like the big hole through it.
Yes, almost like a projector, like a home projector on a body. Yeah. The best thing about this film is this little girl. Holy shit, that was Sturgill Simpson. I didn't realize Sturgill Simpson was in this. Allison Janney's in this. Gemma Chan, Ken Watanabe is fantastic. But I'm really curious as to who plays.
Sturgill Simpson, that's great.
Sturgill Simpson, here we go.
Love him.
Madeline Yuna. This is the you see this kind of is one of the main characters in the film. It's this little girl that that the main character is trying to protect or capture or hold on to. Again, I want to be very vague so I don't give anything away, but she is freaking incredible. And I'm hoping the Academy doesn't overlook a sci-fi film like this when they're looking at best actress or best supporting actress for something like this, because she is absolutely incredible.
That's great. I want to see it. Yeah. I like Gareth Edwards a lot. I really liked Rogue One. I really liked his Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
I think that dude makes cool movies, and he seemed really excited. One of the big things around it was the whole thing was filmed on a $3,000 Sony camera.
This was really
so it's a nice camera. I mean, $3,000 is no small amount of money, but for a big feature thing like this, it's kind of crazy. Apparently he loves this thing so much he's just about humping it everywhere he goes. He loves that camera. So I don't know if there are multiples of it, probably, but he was just raving about it. And I don't remember the model, or I'd tell people, but there was some whole thing about it, about this camera, that just was amazing, and you couldn't believe how good it was, and it was smaller, and I can't remember what it is. Yeah, Graham, it wasn't just a DSLR. It's a camera meant for filmmaking, and it's digital, but I cannot remember the name of the damn thing. Anyway, that was just whole thing. Every interview he's talking about that camera for some reason.
The cinematographer is Greg Fraser, who did the cinematography, I believe, for Dune. Definitely is doing it for Dune 2. Did he do it for Dune?
Oh, I don't know.
Part 1, The Batman, Dune, yes, there he is right there. So cinematography, Australian cinematography, cinematographer who did Rogue One and Dune. So has always worked with, or frequently works with Greg Fraser.
Ooh, he's Australian. Did he do Fury Road by any chance?
Let's just get all those mentions out of the way now. No, he did not.
Ah, shit. That's okay, because that movie's amazing, and I'm sure it looks as good as anything he would have done. So there you go.
Yeah, exactly. He did a few episodes of The Mandalorian cinematography. He won Best Cinematographer for Dune. Was also nominated for Lion.
Hmm. I want to see it.
It's fantastic. If you can, and this is me just saying, go to it. If you've got an Alamo Drafthouse near you, you're very lucky. Take advantage of it. Go see it there. Or see it during a showing where you can, maybe be away from people. If you do see it like at an AMC or a Regal or something like that.
Is it an IMAX deal or no?
Oh, you know, I don't know. We saw it on what they call it. We saw it 30 millimeter, 70 millimeter. I can't remember what the big show is at Alamo Drafthouse. The big show. What the size is,
because that's bigger than a usual screen, right?
It's not as big as IMAX, but it's massive. It is, yes, allow.
Allow,
yes,
me.
you can
allow
knowing my location.
Give me some cookies.
Exactly.
Here's
some cookies. let's see, at least 66 feet wide. It doesn't say what the film size is, but
Those who are on pins and needles about what camera I meant, TV's Travis found it. It's a Sony FX3 is the name of the camera.
Ah, cool.
And it sounds like something almost anybody can afford. But Gareth Edwards, I think he might marry that camera the way he was talking about
it. Listen, if this is what he can churn out if he marries this camera, I will come to that wedding and I'll even look at where they're registered and get them a nice gift.
Nice.
Because, yeah, this thing, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous film.
I've heard comparisons to, not content-wise, mm-hmm. but comparisons to District 9 in that it was like this revelatory, like, wow, someone's got fresh ideas about a sci-fi film.
About exactly, and about this kind of artificial intelligence, for sure. Very, very easily comparable to that sort of thing. And even, God, what's another movie? I mean... AI: artificial intelligence. Isn't that what the movie's called? Like, that's, they give you the initials and then the,
oh, I don't know. Maybe.
What was the Spielberg? Was it just called AI, or was it called AI artificial intelligence?
And they, like, made
ET, the extraterrestrial.
They made the A and the I real big, because they made the I was the silhouette of the
kid.
The,
was Haley Joel Osment. Yeah. It's so just called AI. Okay. But anyway, very, like, if you enjoyed kind of the representation of how, robots would function in a society and kind of be part of it as they're just kind of accepting it, this one's beyond that, where these full-size robots are parts of the military and parts of the police force and members of the family and that sort of thing.
I'm excited.
It's good. Go see The Creator and go see it on the biggest screen you can.
Seems like a no-brainer. I'm definitely gonna see it. Cool. In fact, probably this week, I think, if we can just carve out some time. What else? Oh, we have dates for TMS Vegas next year, guys.
We do. Yeah. Yes. I have the contract in hand.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's not it. That's an envelope. But because it's a PDF. Sorry. So it's not really technically.
I think I have it. Oh, wait, that's a different
contract.
Oh,
there it is right there. Yeah. That looked important.
Oh, that kind of was, actually. It's all right.
So if you need to start requesting time off for TMS Vegas for next year, for April 2024, because 23 is the year we're in now, April 2024. Start making plans April 29th, 30th, and May 1st. That's the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So far, that's the plan for the official events. Scott and I are needing to talk to see if we have enough things for a fourth day, but we'll talk offline about that. Mm-hmm. It also depends on if there's involvement of other properties.
There's things happening.
It's
exciting.
But at the very least, plan on those 3 days being in Vegas. Fly out the day before, fly out the day after, or a couple days after if you like, so you can spend some time sitting in that big stinky ball in the desert with 20,000 of your stinkiest friends.
I want to see whatever that freaking Aronofsky thing is.
Yeah. I do too. That thing,
because I didn't know. I saw a preview video thing. I sent it to you. There's some science fiction shit going on. He doesn't.
Yeah.
Do that.
No, it's gorgeous. Like the film in there, and like what they can do in that curved screen and stuff.
I want to see it. Screw you too. I want to see a science fiction badass movie in there. Is what I want.
April 29th, April 30th, and May 1st are the official 3 days, and we'll see if there's a need for a fourth day. And if there is, we'll extend it on the back end, so it'll be May 2nd will be added on there, the Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
We'll bring Justin Timberlake there on May 1st to sing It's Gotta Be May.
That's good. I was thinking Jonathan Colton. He's probably a little too rich for our blood these days, but
sure.
Yeah,
he's too busy cruising, and then I don't know what, making albums, I guess, when he's not cruising.
I don't know if he's made an album. He's still doing that. Is he still doing the music for that NPR?
Oh,
not wait, don't tell me, but it's a different show.
I don't know if he's still got that gig. He might. He doesn't do. I don't think that podcast with him, Hodgman, and the judge John Hodgman thing that he would occasionally come on and do music for, I don't think that's on anymore. I think that went away. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Oh, and the NPR show's gone, says Red Fraggle. Not Radiolab. Radiolab didn't have him on there. Yeah. I don't think he's doing any of that stuff anymore. If he's like me, the older you get, the less shit you want to do.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, I don't know. Let him enjoy his time. No, I mean,
if you don't need to, why create all that extra stress for yourself?
Yeah, what are you doing? Why? You're past your moment there anyway. Let's get to Battle Royale. Today's the half-assed edition.
Yeah.
And you know, I just
we
realized
need Brian for that.
Yeah, I just realized I got to click that and make that happen or else he ain't coming.
Right. Yeah, you there's something physically you have to do.
Yeah, he can't insert himself into the conversation. I have to insert him into it. And now we're
you
doing
have to
it.
Insert him.
That music signifies that Brian Dunaway has walked into the building and is now here. Hi, Brian Dunaway.
No, hi, Scott and Brian, and thank you for inserting me. I appreciate it.
No problem. You went in easy. I don't know what the deal is there.
I'm all looped up there. I said it. I didn't want to say it. I was trying to figure out a way to say it, and I was like, you know what?
You just went for it. No, it's fine. Just go for the words.
Just do it. Exactly. Yeah. Just
it's Monday. Let it hang out. Anyway, you're here. We're going to do this thing.
That's what I'm trying to do. Let it hang out. Oh, go ahead.
Brian Ibbett is going to explain this contest, who our potential winners are, all that stuff. Brian, take
it
away.
I'll do that while Scott logs into the game.
Oh, shit.
Welcome to the Morning Half-Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you the answers. I'll give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct, and three that are, just like Scott's ability to get into the half-asses game, woefully inadequate. Depending on how confident they feel with a category, they can provide one, two, or three guesses, but if they get any wrong, they get 0 points for that round. One right gets you a point, two right gets you 3 points, and three right gets you 5 points. And if you get the most points after three rounds, you win the prize for your contestant. Contestants are pulled from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to be here live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Josh Helton in Lafayette, Indiana.
Nice.
And Brian, you're playing for Nick D'Errico in Worcester, Mass. Worcester.
Oh, it's better Mass.
Mm. Or Worcester.
Did you want to pronounce it
worse.
What was his name again? Rick what?
Nick D'Errico.
Why is it so...
Rick what?
I thought it was Rick, yeah. Nick D'Errico. Why does that Nick sound D'Errico. So familiar? You know what? He sounds like a wrestler. That's what it is.
He sounds like the drummer for a heavy metal band.
Rick D'Errico.
Yeah, Nick D'Errico.
Who's drumming for Metallica this week?
Exactly. Oh, it's Nick D'Errico.
Wow.
All right, let's give you your questions. And we're starting off with a listener contribution. This is one that was sent in by Jeffrey Hart. Who gives us this?
That sounds like a wrestler, too.
Yeah, it does.
And it does. Jeffrey Hart. the show Gunsmoke ran from 1955 to 1975. Which of these actors or actresses were a guest star on the show and then later starred on MASH? So which of these were MASH actors, actresses who first got their appearance or made an appearance, cameo appearance on Gunsmoke.
So it's not necessarily their start in their career. It's just they happen to be there.
Exactly. They could have done a lot of things before this. Your choices are Loretta Swit, Jamie Farr, Harry Morgan, Mike Farrell, William Christopher, and Wayne Rogers.
Okay. It's crazy. We talked about MASH this week.
Wayne Rogers.
I know. I didn't even think about that. But
so
yeah.
Three of these, eh? I'm going to go for it. I'm going right. for it.
Oh,
go
Scott's
for it.
Boy.
Yep.
All right, you both locked in. Harry Morgan, good choice for both of you because, the dude was all over television prior to MASH. Yeah. So he absolutely Everywhere. Did make an appearance on Gunsmoke. Wayne Rogers, good job, Scott. Trapper John was also an actor who appeared
That's
on Gunsmoke.
That's what she said.
Very good.
Very good.
However, Jamie Farr and Mike Farrell, I just realized that Farr, like you can spell Farr in Farrell as well. Look at that.
Oh, that is weird, dude. You just blew my mind.
Both wrong, by the way. Loretta Swit is the third person who appeared on Gunsmoke.
Oh, makes sense. Yeah. Oh, I even knew that. I could see her in,
You could, and it was kind of even in the question, why would we put Loretta Swit as the only female in this thing and say which actors and actresses were guest star on the show
at
a later start on MASH? But,
good thing you went for it, Scott.
Yeah, good thing I went for it.
Anyway, that's all right. You guys are both 0 points. Coming into question number two, let's go to newer television, shall we? No, we're not. We're going with music. Australian bands. I guess we're ending with television. My cards were in a different order here. Australian bands. Which of these bands are Australian? Kaja Gugu, The Hives, Tame Impala, Split Enz, Savage Garden, and Midnight Oil.
Okay, no one for sure.
I feel like I know one, and then I'm like, you're going to say, you're so stupid. So.
I need to think about this. Brian, have you already
locked in? Have I locked in?
Yeah. You haven't locked
in. No, neither of you
have locked
in.
Now.
All right, Brian's
I'm locking
locked
in now. There.
Right.
Does that make you feel better if I lock in?
I'm gonna,
does that make you feel like you can?
I have a kind of a guess. I'm doing two. If I do three, I'll lose. So two.
Okay. All right. So you guys both went with Midnight Oil. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Midnight Oil
come.
For sure. Blue Sky Mine and Beds Are Burning. And
love
the Beds Are Burning. I watched that video recently and I was like, holy crap.
Yep.
When's the last time you watched that video?
It's a long time.
It's been a minute.
It's been a while.
It's very political.
Hey, Savage Garden, also Australian. Yep. Good job. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a high score, though, because you both picked Midnight Oil and Savage Garden.
Oh, shit. Look at that.
Split Ends is from New Zealand. Very good.
I wasn't positive about Tame Impala, but God, I love Tame Impala. That's
yeah,
one of
Tame
my
Impala from Australia as well. Split Ends from New Zealand, although sometimes people say, well, you know, New Zealand is so close to Australia. No. And neither's Crowded House. Kajagoogoo's from the UK, and the Hives are from Sweden.
Sweden.
I thought Kajagoogoo was a big old fat lie of didn't exist, is what
it's
I thought.
Hush, hush.
No, I'm sorry.
Hush,
I won't
hush,
say
Brian,
it anymore.
You're too shy, shy. Anyway, all right, let's
but
get to our last.
Are they one-hit wonder?
You could argue it.
I think you yeah. could, I think yes, because the only other hit was a solo hit for Lamal, the theme song to The Neverending Story.
Mm.
Okay.
But I can't think of another Kajagoogoo song that ever graced the top 40, Billboard top 40.
And I'm going to forgive myself for not knowing a one-hit wonder. Go ahead.
You can forgive yourself, although I'm glad you didn't choose them because, you know, they're not Australian.
That's wrong.
Now let's get to some newer television. You
let's
guys have
it.
A chance on this one. Actors who played the U.S. vice president on television. Which of these actors played the U.S. vice president on television? Your choices are Kevin Spacey, Tim
on
Daly,
television.
Gary Cole, James Cromwell, Glenn Close, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Okay.
Gary Cole?
Yeah.
All right.
I know the
Gary
reference
Cole.
There, but I think it would be incorrect.
I've never seen this one show, but I thought that's who he was playing, but
I'm locking
no.
with two because the rest of these, two of these are movies. I'm 100% sure they're movies.
That's what I'm thinking too, but it's on movies would go to TV.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm locking in two.
For television we'll shows, not movies that happen to be also streaming on your
right.
television.
Right. Right.
All right, you guys locked in. Neither of you were fooled by the Kevin Spacey thing. Yeah, on House of Cards, he's absolutely started as vice president. So did Julie Louis-Dreyfus. She did end up being Veep on Veep.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, I totally forgot
so
about
good job,
Veep.
Scott. And Glenn Close did not play vice president
so
on television. So,
but only on movies. Only on movies. Look
only
at
movies. Gary
go.
Cole is the third one for The West Wing, which I'm kind of amazed that Scott didn't say.
Yeah,
so,
I thought Gary Cole. I thought Gary Cole was a trick because I didn't think he got that high up. I thought he was. I guess that was toward the end that Gary Cole was VP. But I don't. I remember him being more like advisory, and I don't know.
I'll be honest with you. When I saw Gary Cole, I read Gary Coleman, and I thought it was a throwaway. I watched Different Strokes. He was never vice president.
That would have made a whole different, both a whole different Brady Bunch movie and a whole different Office Space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I can name.
So
I can
come in for work on Saturday. What you talking about, Michael Bolton?
What you talking about? I would actually. So I can actually guess some of these. Glenn Close was from Air Force One, vice president, right?
Yeah,
right, right.
James Cromwell, vice president in Clear and Present Danger, or maybe he was the president.
Crap. That one I don't know.
Or just never president at all.
I also don't have these on my list, so you might be getting these right. You might be getting them wrong. I have no idea.
Tim Daly, I have zero idea on that. I don't know where he did
wait,
that.
Wait. So you're telling me you're not an expert on the topic of each of these questions?
Brian doesn't know every single one of these.
No, of course not.
No.
No, I didn't write them. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What are you, nuts?
Yeah, what do you think? You think who's a good host example? None of these hosts know shit.
You think Bob Barker knows the actual retail price of a Mana radar range?
No, but you never seen the smugness on the Jeopardy?
Alex Trebek. Alex Trebek is rare. Yeah, I mean, and
he knew.
And following, you know, in his footsteps, Mayim Bialik and Ken Jennings, they know the answers.
They know enough of them, and if they don't know them, they really look like they do. Like,
so yeah, wait. Are you telling me?
I'm telling you, Richard Dawson did not know how many people said loaf of bread for something they always buy at the grocery store.
Wait, I kept thinking this was highbrow art quizzes. Nope. You're telling me that we're Richard Dawson level?
Yeah, oh yeah. You got to kiss us, or we got to kiss you, I guess.
Exactly. Listen, until I get my long long microphone, weirdly long microphone.
Those were
rethink my life right now.
Those microphones are a lost art, man. We got to bring those back.
Yeah, they really
those
are
cool. Yeah. Podcasting, our next level is
what was the point in the length and the skinniness of it? Was it because they didn't want to get any closer to people than that? Is that what was?
I think it's just so that they wouldn't have their hands in front of their mouths when they're doing their show. They could kind of keep their hand at like stomach level and, you know, bend over to talk to the starlet in match game location number four.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
So not a phallic symbol at all.
Well, okay. I don't think so. I think Brian's 100% right. And lavaliers just got better. So now we don't need
them. They did.
Yeah.
So Icor says the host of Match Game invented the long mic. You're saying that, wait. You're saying that Gary, no, shit, what's his name? I had it in my head, and then it just completely farted out.
Hold on, Match Game with who's the host? Game I'll look it up. Mark? Hold on. Gene Rayburn.
You're saying that Gene Rayburn invented the skinny mic?
Yeah,
I mean, because really, it's just the wand part doesn't have any electronics in it, right? It's just
sure. The wires go up, and the wires go up in there. So by that measure, it does have electronics in that the wires go up.
Yeah, the wires go up.
Would you
in
say
it,
that? Are, would staff. You call wires electronics?
Sure, you would. Know. Sure, you would.
Pretty
electrons go through them.
Look. I could buy them at Radio Shack. Yeah. Are they not electronics?
They're electronics.
I could buy a lot of things at I could buy a lot of things at Radio Shack that weren't electronics.
Like,
are you telling me that stick of gum I bought from Radio Shack was electronics?
Those don't count. Those are like, let me get some more money out of you before you leave items. Those don't count. Like, you can do that anywhere. Okay. Everywhere's got that kind of rack. But if you wires are absolutely electronics, if they carry electrons in them, well, then that means we're electronics, though.
And that's why you think they call them electronics.
Okay, not everything sold at Circuit City is a circuit. Okay, fine, I'll concede. They're an electronics component. How's that?
There you go, a component of electronics. There you go.
Yes.
Brian solved the problem. Done away, you lose both ways. Yes. You lost here and you lost there.
Are you sure that the wire actually goes through the wand?
I'm going to say yes.
Definitely sure, because the otherwise they'd stick out the top and he'd just be like, it would be like he's doing a Olympic ribbon dance with that thing. Confirmed, by the way, he did invent the long thin microphone he carried on the show, Gene Rayburn. He also became known for the
Was he a germaphobe? Okay, right.
No, I don't know. He became known for the occasional verbal blunder. Interviewing a contestant and meaning to compliment her dimples, he looked at her face and said, "You have the most beautiful nipples I have ever seen."
Wow. Oh, I remember that. That was a thing. Yeah. That was a thing for a while. That guy's a weirdo. Real quick, electronics, scientific and engineering discipline that studies and applies the principles of physics to design, create, and operate devices that manipulate electrons and other electrically charged particles. Wiring is in this list. Take that, Dunaway!
All right, Dunaway. So
are you electronics?
Because we carry stuff.
No, you.
We do, what? Hold on, I can't find the... I can't find his thing to hang up on him. What? You? Okay. Damn. Who is our big winner there? Did we say their name again?
So Nick D'Errico, you're getting Lust from Beyond, M edition. And Josh Helton, or Heelton, you are getting the big prize, Remnants of Nazeth and Stygian, Reign of the Old Ones.
Yeah.
Both on Steam.
All very serious affair, all of these, except for Lust from Beyond, which we played as a joke on Core. It's a shooter puzzle game. It's a first-person shooter with a bunch of puzzle elements where you're kind of stuck in hell, and occasionally demons are like doing it. So just know that going in. People are doing it.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Yeah.
I certainly won't play that.
And the M edition, I think, means more mature even. So,
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's the, yes, exactly. So you,
just so you know,
you see, softcore pornography with your demons.
Yeah, that's basically it. All right. Well, that was great. Enjoyed that. Let's do a quick news story and, we'll call that good. Here's this.
I don't watch the news.
This single piece of news is brought to you by
the Frog Pants Discord community, or Disord community, at frogpants.com/discord. Everyone is welcome.
Yeah, nobody need not come there. You all can come there.
You all need come.
You all need come. Wait, what? Never say that again. Yeah, come in there. We like that place a lot, and there's lots of talk and discussion, and you know, these things like our electronics include wire or whatever, that'll end up being something people talk about all day today, because that's what they do in there.
Oh yes, exactly. Yes, argue over the inclusion of wiring in electronics, please.
Yeah, go in there and get that done. We'd love to have you. Quick story here. This is a story about some sheep. A herd of sheep.
Oh, I like that you went there instead of Will Smith and DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Oh, here is the story. I could have done that. Yeah. A herd of sheep eats 100 kilograms of cannabis in Greece.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This happened in Greece. So Grecians, is that what they're called? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, they are called Grecians.
Are they? Okay.
And they have a formula. Yep.
Yeah. A herd of sheep grazing in the semi-flooded plain of Thessaly. Or is it Thessaly?
Thessaly? I would say Thessaly.
Thessaly, yeah. Greece, invaded Thessaly. A greenhouse that was cultivating medicinal cannabis and ate around 100 kilograms, reports say. I'm not doing the math, so whatever that is in U.S., pounds per foot or whatever.
No, it's best that we don't, because it gets us one step closer to accepting their weird space measurements.
I know, right? We can't be doing that. We can't do that. I mean, yeah. I secretly already have.
Where's Dr. Nikki when we need her on this, by the way?
Oh, no
kidding.
Dr. Nikki
needs to tell us about the cannabis sheep.
How can the she'll write in now or call in.
Please,
Nikki.
Do, yes. Oh yeah, call us and leave us a voicemail.
We love hearing from her. So if you have any thoughts on sheep high on weed, we'd love to hear about it. This happened near a town in Almros in
Almros
in Magnesia.
Sure. Yeah.
They have milk there? Milk of?
Yes.
As the sheep in Greece develop sheep in Greece, I don't know why that's funny. The sheep in Greece developed strange behavior shortly after grazing. The shepherd realized that the sheep had eaten a large part of this cannabis crop. The owner of the greenhouse saw that his production, which had already been heavily damaged by Storm Daniel. Storm Daniel.
Yeah, not to be confused with Storm Daniels.
Yeah, or Stormy Daniels.
Or Stormy Daniels, that's right. I forget she had a Y in her name.
She did. She sure did. had now been consumed by the sheep and were struggling to find fresh grass due to floods. I don't know if it's for laughing or crying, he says. We had a heat wave and we lost a lot of production. We had the floods. We lost almost everything. And now this. The herd entered the greenhouse and ate what was left. I don't know what to say, honestly, says this Grecian man. He's very sad. You can tell how sad he is. He's very sad.
It is sad. You can hear it in his quote. Yeah.
Yeah, he's very Greek.
I'd like a rack of lamb, please.
That sounds all right.
Yeah.
I would eat that.
Smoked, like a smoked rack of lamb from this guy.
He should have said, "This is Sparta," and kicked a sheep. Just booted a sheep.
This is madness.
Yeah, this is madness. This is Sparta. Boom. I saw a great, somebody, you know, that meme never got old. And I saw one where after he kicks the dude, it's all in slow motion, and that guy starts to fall, and it cuts back to Gerard Butler's face. Somebody edited in perfectly, and I mean photo perfect, video perfectly, added in him holding up a cell phone, doing the peace sign and taking a selfie as he kicked that man. Oh my gosh. Do you see what happened just now? Look at this. Do you see this?
Yeah.
Do you see it? What about it? On my screen?
No. It looks normal on Zoom.
Okay, so only people in here are seeing it. So the new gestures thing for Sonoma.
Yeah.
Lets you put up thumbs down, up, down, whatever. Right now there's a rainstorm with the two thumbs down. If I do two thumbs up, I get like fireworks, I think. Yep, there it goes.
Oh, that's cool.
So there's a whole bunch of gesture recognition stuff in the new thing, and I thought I turned it all off, but I guess I haven't. So
every once in a while,
I'll do a thing. It's weird because on Core they saw it in there, but maybe you have to tell it where to show it.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Interesting. No, that's cool. I need to. I, need to play around a little bit more with Sonoma.
Pretty happy so far.
Yeah.
It's been good. Oh, here it is. Reactions. Okay, so Brian, you see this on Zoom? Hold on. There we go. You see
that? Oh, there we go. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's a thumb up. So thumb up just gives you thumb up. Oh, thumb little, down little gives you... balloon. Takes a little longer. Thought balloon. Two of them gives you the rainstorm.
Oh, geez. Wow.
Yeah, that's sad news. And then if you do... See, what was... If I do...
Does the double bird do anything?
No, I tried. First thing I tried. No, circle... This doesn't do anything because it also means white supremacy now, right?
Does it really?
Okay. I think so. Isn't there... There was another one. There's like eight of these, and I don't remember the other one. How did I just do the... Was it this? No, it's peace. Here we go.
Yeah, oh. Flip it around the other way. There you go.
Yeah, so we get confetti.
Oh, you get confetti.
Yeah,
but what's cool is it goes, like, most of it goes behind you, then a little bit in front of you. Oh, balloons. One peace sign gives you balloons.
Yeah. Huh. That's pretty cool, right?
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm impressed with it. It also has other cool stuff like portrait mode. Oh, it's not doing it now. It is for you, but. Anyway, there you go. We're going to take a break. When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with everyone's favorite science pal, Bobby Frankenberger. All right?
Cool.
So prepare your minds and your bodies for electron transfer coming up with Bobby right soon.
He will correct us on many of the things that we've said on today's show.
He very well may. But between now and then, let's play a song. What do you got?
Yeah, so rising singer-songwriter Addison Grace has released his solo album, which is called Diving Lessons. Big thanks to AWOL Records. This thing was co-produced and recorded by Cave Town's Robin Skinner in London. And this is so good. This is the first single from the album. It's called Pessimistic. Here is Addison Grace.
I'm not trying to be pessimistic, I just need a little help reminding myself to eat sometimes. I've been stuck in bed all day and making it my only personality trait. I'm not Taylor, I'm not Phoebe, I'll write this song. Things up. Cause I've learned some people are flawed, only here to make things worse. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. Sometimes when my head's in space, I swear I see the God that everyone's crying to. Take after her. Recently, the good days only bring relief. Change the flowers while I'm conscious. Made me take a steamy bubble bath. Cause I've learned some days are just flawed, only here to make things worse. But I'm not trying to be pessimistic. Some days don't get better and some
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The fresh air that I'm breathing at present.
This is like a gamer's ride, dog.
Hey, we're back. Who was that one more time,
please? Sure, that's Addison Gray. It's a brand new song called Pessimistic from his new album, Diving Lessons, just came out and is really, really good.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Congratulations to him and them for
By the way,
success.
When you listeners out there, you really like a song, tweet it out and include, if you can find their social media stuff, include them in it. Let them know you heard them on TMS, and it helps us get more songs from that label, from that artist. Also just makes them feel good that new people have discovered their stuff.
Yeah, so many of you write in and say, oh, I love this song. Go out there and blast it to them and let them know.
Yeah, put them on blast. Oh, wait, don't do that.
Don't put them on blast.
Don't put them on blast. That's a different thing.
Yeah, put them on this, though.
Science!
Bob is hungry, and the soup looks good.
Well, then he should eat it. Bobby, welcome to the show. Welcome to Bobby, everyone. This is Bobby, and he's welcoming himself here now. Hi, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I don't know where I was going there. It's good to have you back. How's things in the science world and your world?
Things are going great. By the way, I will now be answering to Captain Bobby. Mm.
Yes, congratulations.
Congratulations. You got your thing. Is that really the title? You get, if you can fly a plane, you got a license, you're a captain?
So I looked it up because I needed to know.
Mm. Yeah.
Captain is not like one of these bestowed titles by virtue of like a doctor or esquire or something like that. And you don't have to like get some kind of a degree or honorific bestowed upon you. A captain is just anyone who is in charge of some vessel, right? Like an airplane or a boat. So you can, if you're driving, do you drive boats?
I'm a boat driver.
If you're piloting a boat on a lake, if you're the one who's manipulating the controls, I guess you can call yourself a captain.
You can call yourself whatever you want.
Did you say to your dude that gave you your captainship and signed off, did you say, I'm the captain now? Or look at me.
I wish I would have thought about that.
That's too
bad. You say ahoy? Oh, no, that would be boats. Darn it. What do you say?
I said, look out below.
Did you say?
If you look out the right window, you'll find your diploma.
Oh, I love it. Now that's how you have to talk, because you are the captain.
Yeah, that's true. From now on, that's what we want. We want our science.
Yeah.
Yeah, and during my segment now, from now on, I'll be having the seatbelt lights turned on, and you'll need to put your tray tables in their upright lock position.
Bobby has turned off the seatbelt signs. You're now free to move about the podcast.
Well, before we get to congratulations, A. B, before we get to some scientific talk, you're clipping a little bit on the high end. Can you turn your volume down?
Am I? Okay, let me fix that.
It's not.
I probably bumped this up.
Probably a lot better.
That is a lot better.
It's a little, yeah.
Is it still high?
A little high.
Still a little clippy, but yeah.
That's better. It's an easy slider.
Oh, much better.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Much better.
Put it there, and then we can turn your volume up.
Adjust here. Yeah.
It's one of those sliders, and I haven't saved the position of it yet in the settings, but and if I put, if something knocks it over here, I was doing a, I had my daughter record something with me the other day, and she, I think she probably just bumped into it and knocked it up.
So what you do when you're a kid. It's your job.
Yeah, you bump into stuff.
Yeah, totally. I get that.
Yes.
Well, great.
By the way, quit saying sliders because I'm really hungry right now.
I know, right? Oh, it sounds great. A slider? A good slider? Mm. A good
slider sounds so good.
Some kind of happy hour thing where they're cheaper?
Yeah.
It's one of those words. It's one of those words. You know how there's just words that mean different things to different people depending on what they do? Sliders. Sure. I would never think of food. I only think of...
We had a... Man, when I was a kid, like... Talking 12, 13, 14, there was a place in Denver called Sliders and Nails because that's the slang term for burger and fries. I'm going to go get a slider and nails, man.
Ooh, I love it. Love it.
Sliders and nails.
I would eat that now.
Seems forced.
It seems forced.
Like maybe. they're trying to make fetch a thing, basically, is what you're saying. Yeah.
I could see that. Well, what's going on in the science world? I feel like my brain needs to be filled with something cool and learny.
Well, before we get to that, just real fast, you say I always correct things that you guys do, but I do try to, I'm not correcting anything, but I do listen and try to think, is there any way I can use my powers of research to help? The live studio audience thing?
Yeah, yeah.
It was, as far as my 10 minutes of Googling could find, it was considered a badge of honor, so to speak. Shows were bragging about it.
Because, the live studio audience?
Yeah, because in the 50s through the 70s, it became well known that shows used laugh tracks and canned laughter. So they wanted to brag that they were not using that. And but apparently it was also like a bogus badge of honor because they would use a live studio audience, and then when the laughter wasn't good enough, they would go back and fill it up with.
Oh, really? Oh, hilarious! Yeah. Wow.
Well, that definitely became the practice because that's all these shows did in the 80s and 90s is fill it in.
Yeah, exactly. Augment their actual laughter with,
or do it entirely. Like, you know, MASH is a good example, but you know, things like the Jetsons and the Flintstones always cracked me up because. Not because they were funny, but because I'm like, why is there a laugh track in this cartoon? There's literally no audience for it. Like,
right. Who's watching Fred Flintstone right now that's laughing that we're hearing?
Yeah, it's such
they
bull crap.
Should use AI now to generate realistic laughter.
They could do it. You know they could do it.
Yeah.
Oh, we're giving them ideas we shouldn't. That's fine. Whatever.
What I did come with this week was something you asked me to look up the last time I was on.
Oh, what's that?
Which was about cell phones in your dreams. Do you remember?
Oh yeah, because the claim was that you never see cell phones in your dreams, and I had thought long and hard about it, and I have never seen a cell phone, smartphone, any sort of portable communication device in my dream.
Wow.
So I promised I would look into it for at least 30 minutes and see if there were any legs to the idea. And I did find some stuff.
All right.
I thought we'd
cool.
Why don't we see cell phones in our dreams?
Yeah, what's up with the deal with that, Bobby?
What's the deal with cell phones? First of all, many people actually do see cell phones in their dreams. There is this thing that exists called, so lots of people do dream and sleep research, some of it bogus, some of it very serious. but there is a database called the Sleep and Dream Database.
Okay.
And what it is it's a collection of people's descriptions of their dreams that have been taken over many, many years, and they're categorized in different ways and all this. It's a searchable database you can actually go through and look for different things like mentions of different emotions or different colors or different pieces of technology or different events or something like that, and see how many people have reported that were sampled. And it's the people that were sampled are something like I think it's like 20,000 to 30,000 people in this currently in this sample, but they're continuing to collect data, and you can see how many people have mentioned these different things in their recounting of their dreams. And if you look through this sleep and dream database, you actually find that about 3.55% of people, according to that database, do mention cell phones in their dreams.
It's a very low percentage, though.
Right? It seems low. doesn't it?
Yeah,
like 3.55%.
So that's what's got the highest percentage, just for comparison.
Oh yeah.
So that's Brian's always asking the important questions. He's got
that's his brain. Analytical mind.
Yeah. Skeptical mind.
Sure.
So it's actually more. So when you look at other types of technology, because you can have this database just list types like technology things, right?
Yeah.
And if you look at other types of technology, then cell phones are actually the most those different types of technology.
Wow. So there's percentages, like they're doing percentages even smaller than that of things like fax machines. And I'd love to meet the person that still dreams of fax machines.
Right.
I'm a huge fax.
They've got things like mentions of movies, videos, computers, radios, cameras, television, stuff like that. Right.
Okay.
And cell phones are highest up on that, 3.55%. The next highest one is movies at 3.18%. And then below that, 1.26% is video. I'm not going to list all of them, I promise. Mm. But that just gives you an idea of the low percentage of things that are in technological in general that are mentioned. But just the mention of things is not going to be that. So it seems low, but it's not that bad, because just the mention of different things is low. Remember that, or not remember, I guess I haven't told you, the way that they, the way that these are categorized is people go in and write descriptions of their dreams. That's
right.
It's a self-reported thing. Mm-hmm. So it has to not just be that a cell phone existed in their dream, but it has to be notable for them to want to mention it. Right.
Okay. Right.
So
and you said it's the same group, right? That is it's not like a crowd share kind of report your dreams kind of thing. This is like a vetted group that all.
Yeah, there's a lot of different sources, but they're pretty. It's not just like an open website that anybody goes in and just jots their dreams down.
I prefer that, actually, right? Because I feel like you would get so much garbage. I dreamed of Marley Matlin the other day.
Exactly. In some ways, it would be better, but this database is used by a lot of different people for different reasons.
Yeah.
I guess. So they want to be able to characterize it like you can define the a data set in different ways, like some of the stuff is from the 2020 presidential election. They were soliciting dreams for that, but they put them all together so you can search all of them, or you can like filter it down to specific surveys that were taken for specific reasons as well.
Interesting. Gotcha. So my big takeaway thus far is that technology itself is underrepresented in people's dreams, or at least being a significant part of it. And if I think about my dreams in any meaningful way, it's very rarely stuff that's like grounded. It's always concepts or blown out visualizations that actually represent something else strangeness or whatever. Right. So it's not like a dream is ever, I shouldn't say ever, but dreams are rarely ever going to be like, I dreamt of my toaster and how it perfectly makes toast, and the setting was at halfway and I pushed the toast. You don't do that, right?
Right.
Instead, it's like my toaster had an eyeball on it and it called me Larry.
That's right. Exactly. Or
right.
Or I was toast and I was in a giant toaster kind of thing.
Yeah. It's always that kind of thing. So the toaster is actually kind of secondary, or the cell phone, or the whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's a good point, because if you just look at broadly technology as a mention of technology. And so the way that they do that is they look through, they have all these words that are meant to mean technology, things like computers, CD, television, engine, stuff like that, email. And they collect, if you add up all the percentages of all those things as they were mentioned, then it's about 8 or 9% of all the total dreams that they have. In their database, they mention some kind of technology.
Yeah. Right.
So that's a good point. Like it's not necessarily represented. But again, one thing we have to think about is that doesn't necessarily mean that technology was absent from their dream, but that it was not noteworthy enough for them to mention it when they recorded their dream. That's the tricky thing about dream research and looking at what people dream about and why and everything. It has to be noteworthy enough for people to jot it down, or it has to be noteworthy enough for them to even remember it at all, right? So that's one of the difficult things. Another difficult thing about dreams is, are you actually, one question people have is, when you remember your dream, are you actually remembering it? Or is it that has the experience of the dream been made entirely during the moments you were waking up? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, no, 100% it does. Happens to me all the time.
There have been times, I'll doze off for like a minute or a second, and it feels like I've dreamt for, like, dreamt a story for 10 minutes.
One way to help this is you have somebody else around who can verify the time. So I had one time where I woke up, was hanging out with Kim, talking, and for whatever reason, I fell asleep again. And when I fell asleep, I noticed that the clock said 7 a.m. When I woke up, that clock said 7:02, and Kim confirmed I was only out for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
There's no way in any realistic terms that what happened in that dream could ever take place in just 2 minutes. It was like, you know, I'm playing Cyberpunk right now, so it reminds me of this, but when you take just like an entire experience and just plug it in and plop it in like a hard drive, unlike say a reel to reel or a tape where you have to kind of watch it to get to the end, this is like planted immediately. The whole experience, bam, you just have it. And time means nothing, even though it feels like time has passed. Like, that to me is so wild. Mm-hmm. And there's going to come a day where mankind figures out a way to kind of harness that, and we're going to do some weird shit with it.
Right, because there could be, there are a couple of ways that you could think about how this experience happens, right? It could be that you just have strange time dilation. Your experience of time is dilated, like contracted or expanded during the dream, and in a way that doesn't make sense. That's perfectly logical. But there's another thing that could be happening, is that during REM sleep, you're not actually experiencing anything. There's a bunch of random firing, and then the moment you wake up in the middle of REM sleep, your brain is like suddenly aware of all these random firings and then says, well, what was that? And that has to make sense of it instantly, in the moment.
Right.
So that could be happening too. It's difficult to know how to tease that apart, right?
Right.
Some clever scientist could maybe come up with an experiment that would help us figure that out, but it's difficult to tease that apart. And that goes to, I remember when we were talking about it 2 weeks ago, one of the things I thought of was that this reminded me of how it's a common thing that people say they can't read writing in their dreams.
Oh, yeah, right. Or where it, like, they're print or seeing a sign or things like that.
Yeah, either it's a jarbled mess or it's blurry or it's characters that make no sense.
Sure.
Something like that. And scientists do think that they have a sense of why that might be, because of brain scans of people while they're sleeping. The language centers in our brain, the Wernicke's and Broca's area of our brain that sort of like process and interpret language, are way less active during REM sleep. So the logical thing to think of for that is that, it's likely that we can't make any sense of words because that part of our brain is just kind of in sleep mode, right?
Right.
I guess literally, no pun intended. but it's just not, it's powered way down so it's not able to do that.
Is it weird that I can do that in real time? Like right now, if I look at, let's just say our notes, we have notes here. It says a little science with Bobby, right? In our spreadsheet. I can stare at that and will myself to make that look like Klingon or something, like total nonsense.
Wow.
Yeah. But I have to, you know, I have to kind of focus on it, but I can do it in like, like right now I have jumbled that up to a giant mess and it looks like nothing. And then if I kind of blink out of it, I'm like, oh, okay, a little science with Bobby again. I think there's something to like being able to, well, certainly your dreams put that stuff to sleep, but I think you can kind of fiddle with that. It's also true with hearing. You'll hear, I can do this sometimes. If someone's talking in just English, right? Normal, every day I understand English. If I concentrate for a second, I can make it sound like nonsense and I don't understand it. Like I'm almost like I don't know English. Yeah. And I can turn that on and off sometimes, which is a little bit,
I think, weird. That lends like there's probably something to that, and the artistic creativity that you have. You know, a lot of your art is taking common everyday objects and turning them into something weird, right?
Sure, that's true.
Or turning something familiar into something something different or odd, right?
Yeah, stylization, it really is abstraction. You're taking realistic things and going as abstract as you can with it, and that's probably what that is. But I think that's what the thing about dream states is, that some of that stuff, regardless of your normal conscious proclivities, while you're experiencing that, some of that just comes out for people, right?
Right.
That they wouldn't normally be able to tap into. That's why some of my...
Right.
Or sometimes it's the opposite, where you think what you just thought of in a delirium of half sleep is amazing, and so you write it down. And then you check it out in the morning and you go, what kind of horse shit is this? It's terrible. I'm not going to write that. I'm not going to draw that, whatever. That happens too. So, yeah, man, dream states...
And there's a couple of things that are going on in your sleeping brain that you want to kind of think about when you're thinking about, what does this have any meaning, or is there a reason behind it? Stuff like that. First of all, your brain is operating completely differently when you're dreaming than it is when you're awake.
Mm-hmm.
So much so they have like a it's like semi-conscious, and they have it like it's like a sleeping consciousness, I think is what some people call it, because it's different. First of all, your senses aren't actually really engaged very well, if at all. So when you're awake, the way your brain constructs your reality is it takes all the things that your senses are sending to it, and then it filters it through all these things like memory and all these other things in your brain, and then it constructs your experience of reality, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, your brain is also constructing something in the moments of your dream. But it's not coming from your senses. First of all, your eyes are closed, and there's a lot of all those senses that you're experiencing maybe while you're dreaming. They're not the actual. So that sensory quote unquote information is coming from somewhere else and being constructed into some form of some kind of reality that your brain is interpreting. Right.
Mm, mm.
So it's not the same pathways that your brain is using. And your brain is just, like I said, interpreting is a really, I think, good word to think of when you're thinking about your experience of reality. Your brain is always interpreting everything anyway.
Sure. Whether or not you're conscious being
able whether to, you're awake or asleep. Yeah. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there are people who have, like, you know, I know someone who thinks they see dead people, like sees ghosts at night, people to walk into their room.
We all know that person. It's
Taylor Joel Osment.
He sells out that movie. Yeah.
No, it's like he's sure he's seen these physical beings in his room before many times, and it's just sure that he's seeing the spirits of dead people, and that there's no way it could possibly be just sort of an enhanced version of what we're talking about, or a sort of an extreme version of you know, chemical and synapse happening where he thinks he's seeing it, and there's really no convincing him. I've tried. But that's what this is part of that. And I've had dreams where I was sure when I woke up a certain thing was going on. I was sure of it. And then you're like there for a minute going, well, that doesn't make sense, because why was Walter Matthau here or whatever? You know? Whatever the thing is.
Your brain does weird.
Why did Brian pull Marley Matlin out of the sky? Why did I pull why are these names happening?
I actually did have Marley Matlin was in a dream a couple days ago, and I think it was because I drove those deaf kids around in my Lyft.
Wow. I love that.
Oh, yeah. And that actually reminds me. 5 seconds here. Big thanks to Jim Pacholik, who sent me the Sign Language for Dummies book. It was hilarious. I just opened up a package and there's Sign Language for Dummies.
This is what Jim Pacholik does. He sends things that are needful. He sends needful things. I'm afraid he's the needful things guy at the store.
He is the needful things guy, yeah. So yeah. I'm absolutely going to use that. All right. So I'm sorry. Back to our program.
Back to you, Bob.
Your brain is completely different when you're sleeping. The prefrontal logical part of your brain, the prefrontal cortex, is very much less active during sleep, which is why nothing makes sense when you're dreaming.
Yeah.
And the primitive parts of your brain, like the hippocampus and the amygdala, they're much more active while you're sleeping. And those are the parts that are like responsible for things like reactions to stimulus, like disgust reactions, or memory consolidation is really important in the hippocampus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why a lot of people think that that's one of the prime.
Oh,
primary functions of sleep. And so you were mentioning people that experience something when they're asleep or waking up, like in that between sleep and wakefulness moment. Have you, either of you ever had sleep paralysis before?
No, but I know.
I mean, everybody has sleep paralysis.
You're partially awake and you just can't move kind of thing, but you're also dreaming.
Yeah, it's like so sleep paralysis is just what everyone experiences. Your body is paralyzed when you sleep. It's just, unless you have some kind of a disorder that makes it so that you're not. But your body just paralyzes you while you sleep, so you don't, you know, die from doing things that were in your dreams.
Yeah, you don't want to die from doing things. I agree.
It's yeah. what you're talking about, Brian, which is what I was referring to, is hypnagogic or hypnagogic hallucinations.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay.
Where you're starting to come awake, but your body is still you're still paralyzed from sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
And you're sort of like halfway booting up. Your brain is rebooting halfway. So you're experiencing like some of these dream sensations. A lot of people there's a lot of old myths and legends and everything of succubi and devils coming in and sitting on your chest stuff like that. Yeah, and that people, or more, that was what it was in ancient times. But more recently, people experience describe alien abductions. A lot of people think that this is hypnagogic hallucinations.
That they're just coming out, coming back from getting anally probed, and this is how they know.
Move, right?
Yeah.
It's from people who experience that and even know what it is. They say that it's very terrifying.
Sure.
Because imagine you can't move.
Amy Robinson in our chat room is saying that same thing. She experienced it and it's terrifying.
It sounds awful.
That it's very terrifying. And a lot of people who know better still say that in the moment, it's nearly impossible to convince themselves that something, that's what's happening. Like, it's nearly impossible to convince themselves that there's not some force that's in imposing itself on them.
Hmm.
And so it's just a weird thing. I think, if you care what I think, because nobody really knows. that our brains are in a different mode while we're sleeping, and that parts of our brains are just that are more involved in experiencing cell phones, you know, like maybe the frontal cortex and those language parts of your brain, because you're always reading and typing things on your phone. They're just not as active or engaged when you're asleep, so you probably, you know, it's not. The pathways that are constantly being used while you're using your phones are probably not being used during dreaming as often, so people don't experience them as much. And there's also this, I think, kind of silly idea that it's, if you look into it, that people think, well, the technology hasn't been around long enough for it to enter into our sort of anthropological subconscious. I think that's a bunch of hokum. Mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right to me.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense. Anyway. That sounds cool. All right. Make your movie about it, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your TV show, Rainbow Bright, reminds me that that was also in the TV show Evil. Really good show, by the way. The main character would experience that whenever the shiny black demon, that was a really freaky demon to find on terrestrial TV. I'm just going to say it right now.
Yeah.
This demon that would show up crawling over her bed to talk to her, and she would be in that kind of frozen, paralyzed state.
Evil was cool, but once again, it's a series that was too good for network and they canceled it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Dirty right. Bastards.
Yep.
Well, there you go, Bobby. Fantastic stuff about the human brain and sleeping.
Thanks.
And phones and all that stuff. It's what we were hoping for.
And a live studio audience.
And a live studio audience. Well. This is true. We are recording this before a live studio audience that laughs at nothing audibly. And that's okay.
Right. Yes.
We'll put that in post. Bobby, please tell people where your show is and what you guys are talking about this week.
Well, my show is a show about science and science news and just all things science. I do it with my co-host, Maura, and it's called All Around Science. I say it slowly because people want to call it other things, but it's All Around Science. So look that up. I'm excited to do this these next couple of episodes. I'm getting to meet my co-host in person for the second time ever.
Oh, that's awesome.
This upcoming, I think, next week. I think she's staying at my house, so I better get that right.
Yeah, get that. That's great, though. But, what, that's a cool opportunity to finally, you know.
Yeah, the first time I met her was before we even did the podcast. Like, in person, I've done plenty of things with her online, but
sure.
She lives in Canada, so.
Oh, there's your problem. Yeah.
It's, we don't really let many Canadians into the country.
No, we're beefing up the wall up there, someone told me. Yeah. Some, I don't know who it was.
I had to grab this. It's the All Around Science Challenge coin holder.
Right oh, there. Look at
show
that.
Off the, show off the logo.
Love it.
Not really the logo, but.
That's great. I love it. Bobby, enjoy that. And we make sure we all tune in. Okay. Listen to that show. Sub to it. It's not hard. All right. So go get it wherever you get your podcast. Bobby, have a great week. We'll see you next time. Sorry, Captain Frankenberger.
Captain Bobby. Captain Frankenberger.
I'm your Captain Frankenberger.
Captain Franks.
Captain Franks. I like Franks. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
New day, everybody. Get used to it. All right. We got a couple things to take us out of here. For example, if you haven't joined us on Patreon, perfect time to do it. Second day of the month, which means you get the whole month of October going. And that's exciting. Chances are this month's art will be Halloween related anyway, because I'm going to be drawing that every day. So watch for that. And also go check it out. That's at patreon.com/TMS. Find all the cool reasons to sign up there and become a part of our larger family. Everything else you can find at frogpants.com/TMS, including a link to request songs for the end of the show, which right now we will demonstrate in real time. Brian, take it away.
Yes, this is how this works. You will hear this song if you're a podcast subscriber, that is.
Sure.
And you'll be able to look at quicktms.li to see how that is and all that stuff. Mm. Ryan, a.k.a. Ryotemi, wrote in and said, "Sire and Begetter, today is the 30th anniversary of my father's death from a drug overdose. I was a freshman in high school and lived across the country from him. It was a difficult day, to say the least. Could you find a cover of the iconic song about the things we learned from our fathers? Let's get Scott crying with Cats in the Cradle. And then let's all reflect on the good things that they taught us."
That one gets me every time.
Oh, for sure. We were talking about that this weekend or last week.
Facebook, or I think. Or Facebook. Film Sack.
Film Sack, or maybe Couch Party. I can't remember when it was. Maybe. But maybe. Yeah. Anyway, Cats in the Cradle. This is the Harry Chapin song. And this is a very special version of it because it's actually being covered by his daughter, Jen. So kind of like the real story of the song, it's being sung by his actual child. From the album A Song for My Father, which found a lot of musicians doing covers of songs that their father had performed, released back in 2007. Here's Jen Chapin covering Harry Chapin's Cats in the Cradle.
Just the other day, he came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch, bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he said, "I'm gonna be like you. You know I'm gonna be like you." And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. We're gonna have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, "Thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw?" I said, "Not today. I've got a lot to do." He said, "That's okay," but he walked away and his smile never dimmed. He said, "I'm gonna be like him. Yeah, you know I'm gonna be like him." And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. We're gonna have a good time then. Just the other day, so much like a man, I just had to say, "Son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while?" He shook his head and he said with a smile, "What I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please?" And the cats in the cradle and the
time, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. We're gonna have a good time then. Just the other day, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. But my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. We're gonna have a good time then.
Get more at frogpants.com.
The blood of Uranus can never be destroyed.
I've heard.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.